Grab your Bibles, if you would. Turn to 1 John, and we're going to be in chapter 2 today. Thank you, Randy and Josh. They tackled this on some short notice and said they're going to come at it, and then they want me to come in and also talk to it. And the way that this whole thing works, it's pretty amazing, right? God gives us the Holy Spirit, and so the Holy Spirit is the one that reports and leads us in what's going on in the heavenlies, right? With this, the Holy Spirit is the one that brings us to where God's at and what he's doing. So I'm always amazed how you guys might hear me talk about something, and then if you happen to be on YouTube, all of a sudden you'd hear somebody else saying a similar thing. It's not because there's like a pastor's conference that we all went to get the same information. It's not that. What you end up finding is these themes that God is up to, he's talking to more than one person. And so it's about the movement of heaven, the kingdom of God overtaking the kingdom here. It's the crashing of the realms, if you will, right? And so pretty exciting to witness that at times. So you sit at home like I was, just full of what these men did for me, for my family, for you guys, and the Lord using them. And you may not understand, but please appreciate the leaders that God has given you in your church to do what it is that Ross is doing, is putting yourself out there. It's different than a job. I've had that. I've had the job where you have a cell phone, they call you 24 hours a day. That sucks, okay? So if you have that, that sucks. That's the church word for it, sucks, okay? But this is, you step up for God, you're laid open, okay? Everything in you, good and bad, comes out, and you don't, unless you want to hide and lie, which some people do, but that catches up to you, you have to be filleted, okay, and opened to reveal what's inside. Amen? Anyone who's been an elder or pastor, right? Okay. So pray for them. Pray for me. Pray for Ross and the worship team. And the more you give, the more is required of you. It's not just a Marvel comic book saying. It's the truth. It's the reality. Okay, so let me just say, Lord, I bring to you my fuzzy head, right? The Rona head or the vid head, whatever you want to call it, and just bring this to you, every note, every preparation, every study. Only your words, Lord, I want to come out of my mouth. I only want you to speak to the sons and daughters who you've brought in and to the people on the fence who are being invited and brought here for you. Lord, I believe what Jesus said in the Bible, that everyone that comes to him is brought by you and that you were sent and that you were working for those who were ready and who came to you. So bring to the surface those who are ready and give us patience for those who aren't. I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. 1 John, that's right. Okay, 1 John chapter 2. It starts off with this. So he starts off with this phrase, my little children. Have you seen this before, right? Other people use it, and I think the main question is he saying it in like a dear, oh, my little children, right? This is, my wife was asking me this week. Or is the author of this saying it in some sort of like, oh, kids these days, right? Like, is it sarcastic? Like, you don't get it because you're a kid? Or is it, oh, my precious dear one? I mean, you decide for yourself, okay? And in John's situation here, we know, and Randy had shared it with us, John started this walk as a young man, probably the kid, the punk, snot-nosed kid of the bunch. And now he's the last one standing, right, at the end in Revelation. He's like the last of the original disciples standing. So now he's become an old man with tremendous wisdom, great experience. So he's earned the right to call me children, right? He's put in the time. He has walked with Jesus in person in a way that you and I don't get to, like walked from town to town, spent the night, ate meals with him. He knew the guys. He knew, you know, who smelled the worst, what, you know, what they liked to eat, the worst parts of them. He knew them in a way you and I don't by reading a book that contains, what, 5,000-6,000 years of information, okay? But then he also experienced Jesus dying, standing next to his mom, watching him die, and then hanging out with them after he was risen from the dead, and then watching him go to heaven in the clouds, and then being left to walk out the rest of his life, like you and I, with the Holy Spirit and with the witness of the brothers and sisters. It was part of writing him down. So he's earned every right to say, my children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, good church word, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Okay, that's what we're going to cover. Now let's go back. Let me pull out this first piece. Let me call your attention to the first piece. He says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so, okay, we should be on the edge of our seat. Why in the world are you writing this to us, John? What we have here is a brother and sister, right, a man of faith who's walked with Jesus, and he's got something to tell us. Okay, what do you want to tell us? I'm writing you these things so that you may not sin. Can I be honest? This is not the fun thing to preach about, right? This is a fire in my belly right now, given by the Lord. See, what I hold here is a copy of the Bible, right? What we call it. You have an Old Testament, an Old Covenant, which is really a couple things. It's the laws, it's the prophets, and it's stories of friends of God. I love it. I've heard it put those ways, and I think that's what the three things are. It's the law and the prophets and stories of the friends of God and walking with them, and it's awesome. And you know what it does more than anything? It tells us who God is. And then there's this time of silence, and the result of all that, the law, the prophets, and the friends of God, is we all needed a Savior, right? So then, boom, comes the Gospels. Good news, Jesus has come. Right? And then we have all the men and women of God, their stories, right, through the Acts of the Apostles, and then all the letters, the epistles that have gone out to brothers and sisters like you and I. And what we've done, though, is we've separated that in such a way, and we forget that God hasn't changed. Okay? God hasn't changed. There's still wrath and judgment coming. Okay, we can't lose track of that, I know, and I'm supposed to get red-faced in a southern accent and yell at you about hell and fire and brimstone, right? And that hasn't worked for most of you, otherwise you wouldn't come to this church, right? But they're not wrong. They're not altogether wrong. The reason why John wrote this, so that you will not sin, so that you may not sin. Like, somebody's got to tell you this. Somebody needs to tell me this. The whole point, guys, is we shouldn't sin. And before this, what was happening is John was writing, guys, if you say you don't sin, you say you're perfect, you're a liar. You're a liar. But the good news is there's Jesus. See, because we don't want to be a liar. We want to know that we have sinned, that we may sin, but the purpose of this is so that you would not sin. Now, what's the problem with this is just that we go one of two ways. You take this whole thing and you think, okay, I've got to try to be perfect and moral. And how did trying to be perfect, moral, and save yourself go? What's that? It didn't work. Yeah. And then here's the other thing. Because of that reality, then we've gone so soft. You get people-pleasing? Like, people-pleasing is a problem with me in the past that God is working on. It's in our culture. It's in our society. Everyone's opinion matters. Be gentle and nice to everyone. Guess what? When you try to keep everyone from getting hurt, everyone gets hurt. Thank you, right? Okay? If I stand up and say, what about, you can see this across the board. Pick a group, pick a cause. I want to be treated equal but special. Right, okay. We can't just please every single person. Bald people unite. Pretty soon all the people with hair are getting mistreated because in favor of not making bald people sad, right? Okay, this is what we do. We try to please everyone. So instead, we take the truth that Randy brought to you, that Jesus is the one that speaks for us, that he's the one that's covering our sin. So you don't have to lie. You don't have to hide. Admit this. Bring it into the light. Let Jesus speak for you. Okay? He is the one that speaks for you, but he's speaking for you so that you will not sin. Not so that it's okay to sin. It's just not. Okay, sin is such a church word. We think it's this moral thing, moral right and wrong. The problem is with this is there's one guy's name. His name is Jesus. He did weird things, okay? He did weird things that you and I wouldn't put on our moral list. They were in the temple. They were exchanging and selling goods and money. He wasn't too happy about it. He knew it was wrong. He didn't go up. First of all, he didn't get passive and say, oh, well, I'm going to be nice, right? This is what the church, be nice, Will. Okay, I'm going to be nice and not say anything. Okay, he didn't even go up to him and say, would you please stop turning my father's house into a marketplace? No, the dude threw tables over. And when he did that, he wasn't wrong. How was that not wrong? Because the moral part of me would say that was wrong. And then Jesus is with these disciples and even them trying to walk in a moral way. Master, let's go. There's tons of people downstairs that need healing. He's like, dude, sneak out the back door. Not the moral nice thing to do. So Lord, please take this improper belief about what sin is out of our head. We throw it away and we ask you to teach us what this is. Okay, sin, the word that you keep hearing here is not about the moral right and wrong. Although, yes, sometimes the moral right and the right and just thing to do are the same, right? Chris, don't get mad at me and murder me. It's clear. Morally, not good. In the Bible, not good. Don't do it, right? Right? Okay, but to sin really means this, two things, to miss the mark. You know, it's really a great archery term. There's a mark, there's a goal in mind that you're aiming for. And every time you pull back, right? Every time you pull back that string with the quiver in there, right? You have a goal, and your goal is to hit it bullseye, dead on. We're not talking about grenades. Close enough doesn't matter. You want to hit the center. You want the best, the narrow path, the right way. The only difference is in your life, the stakes are higher. When you sin, you miss the mark, but it also means to be without a share in. So when you and I sin, when we do things the way opposite or different than what God intended us for us to do, what he created us to do, a couple things happen. One, we miss the mark, but also we lose out. You ever experienced something in your life where it was an achievement you got to and it wasn't easy to get there? And there was a lot of points in time along the way that you could have taken a shortcut, you could have quit, you could have resigned, but you never would have got to that place, i.e. a 50th wedding anniversary, right? Most people don't celebrate the 50th wedding anniversary with saying, I sure hate my wife. But I guarantee you there were some nights like, dear God, is this really the woman you want me to be with, right? And she thought the same thing about you. But when you got kids, grandkids, like you're glowing, right? And all of it was worth it. You didn't miss out because you didn't miss the mark on that. You didn't become unfaithful to each other. If you did, you worked through it. You didn't quit. You didn't take the easy, wide path. You took the narrow, hard path. Every day, it took a choice. That's a picture of what he's talking about here. I'm writing this to you guys so that you don't miss out. I mean, you want to share in the life of Christ. You want to share in the kingdom. You want to share in freedom. You want to share in love and hope and the kingdom that's coming and eternal life. I want this for you guys. I want this for me too. And it's hard to preach this because I have to live it too. Every day, every moment, guys, don't let somebody tell you any different. This is not grenades. This is archery. You have a goal in mind. Close enough isn't. Maybe that was just a John thing. Josh, maybe it was just a John thing. Well, let's take it by even a higher authority. Let me give you a couple Jesus examples. There was a guy, there was this pool at Bethesda. People would get carried into this pool and hope that healing would come from this water. Jesus comes on the scene. There's some dude sitting there outside of it. He can see he's an invalid. He's like, man, are you going to get in the pool? He's like, no one's going to carry me in there. You remember what Jesus says to him? Like, pick up your bed and walk away. And this was the Sabbath, so this got him in lots of trouble with the religious dudes. He's like, pick it up and walk away. The guy who's an invalid is like, okay. Gets up, picks it up, walks away. Everyone's like, oh, what's happened? Who healed him? He goes around and he finds Jesus. He didn't even see who it was. He just believed the voice he heard. He goes and finds Jesus. He's talking to Jesus, and this is what Jesus says to him. He says, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. See, the message wasn't wrong. I don't want to be rebellious, guys. I don't want to be rebellious, but I've got to speak from my heart and from what I've learned. And to simply cruelly say, just don't sin and do the right things, we're missing the heart of it. The Lord himself is like, look at all that you've been through, everything that's happened, every tyranny of circumstance that has come for you, now it is corrected. Now don't miss the mark. Don't get off the path, because when you do, it's going to get worse. Wow, that's loving, right? That's loving. But we're missing this because we don't want to hurt everyone's feelings. We don't want to put that pressure on us. Then there's the woman caught in adultery. She was caught in the act of adultery. What's her punishment for that crime? Stoning, death, right? So they try to test Jesus. They pull her out in the street, right? Do you remember this story? If you've been in Bible studies, and then they want to kill her to try to test Jesus, try to get him to throw the first stone. He says something along the lines of like, okay, so any of you, she sinned. She missed the mark. She's made a moral mistake. Okay, whoever is the one who hasn't done that, why don't you grab the first rock and throw it at her? And pretty soon, the older guys who get it, they're like, put the rocks down, and they walk away. Until they all walk away. And then he's like, hey. He's writing in the dirt, right? And then he looks at her, and he asks her, so who's left to condemn you? And then she answers in verse 11. No one, sir, she said. And then Jesus looks at her right in the eyes and says, then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. Wow, how loving. How loving. See, because sin can take a hold of our life when we're constantly okay with just missing the mark. We're always okay with missing out. And then in Matthew 5, this is even harder. I mean, this is the one that like makes people angry. And like either you do one or two things. You fake it, you pretend you're doing this, or you quit. And that's this, Matthew 5:48, where he says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The context that he's telling him some difficult things, like, you think it's easy to love your friends, try loving your enemies. Try praying for the ones who hate you. Right? It's easy to love him. He's cute. But then you grow up and look like this. It's a little harder to love, right? So that's what Jesus is like. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Guys, you're supposed to be perfect. You're supposed to be without sin. You're supposed to ask God and everything what he wants for you to do and aim for that. Aim for that every time. Every time. That's not an Old Testament thing. It's not a cruel thing. It is the most loving thing. So that you may not sin. But this isn't even the message that I've been bringing you or the churches have been bringing you. And so the world sees a people who are like, shooting their arrows like this. They don't even care where it goes because I'm not going to hit the bullseye every time anyway, Will. I'm not an archer, but I know this much. If I was in a competition, every arrow that I fired, I would be looking to hit the bullseye. And even when I made a mistake, I would make the correction not to make that same mistake again. If I had a coach, I would ask him to watch the mechanics, the pattern of my process to see where there's error. Does that make sense? If you're shooting a gun, the same thing, right? You would adjust your sights. You would sight it in. You get a new gun, you wouldn't just say, oh, it always fires 10 feet to the right at 100 yards, but I'm good at that. Hopefully it's a really big elk. I don't know, you know. Or I'll just aim this way, and hopefully it curves right. We're not okay with that, but in life, we're okay with that. Ezekiel, right, now we're going to the prophets, right, what we're calling the Old Testament. This is like God speaking through the prophets. So here's the heart of God. Get this. Ezekiel 11, 19, and I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Who wants that? Yeah. It's not an old heart that behaves. Do you get the difference? You didn't teach your stone heart new tricks. And here's something where Josh said that just tied right in. He was bringing this truth to you. If you have an unchanged life, it only means one thing. It's an unchanged heart. It's diagnostic. And so here's the maddening thing. Like, I see it too, and I see it with my own kids. Man, what a blessing. I can see what I believe based on what I live. And see, I've grown up in the church. I've been around that. And I think what broke my heart more than anything is to see what it did to the people who walked through the process. And they constantly seem to be firing right or firing left. And the people who seemed to be Christians just didn't seem to have the joy the Bible said they were supposed to have. I mean, can you see that? What this is saying is really not what we're experiencing. And you know what we do? We usually quit. At least quit in some sort of way. Either quit hoping that we can have the life that Jesus promised us, or we quit gathering together because we wreck it. We wreck this when we get together. Maybe we denounce it all together because it's just not working. And then you see this in your parents if you're a kid, right? My kids will watch me like, Will, are you really living in such a way? Are you loving your wife in such a way? Are you being pastor in such a way as a shepherd who's responsible for all of your souls, by the way? Holy cow, right? Like, are you like excited about it? Do you really think, are you living in such a way that you think God is as good as it says he is? And if not, check yourself, right? Check yourself. There's a song from when I was a kid, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's probably what I should have titled this, Josh. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. I know that Brandy uses that phrase a lot too. See, your heart must change. And the problem with most of the sermons that I can bring to you is this feeling that makes you think, I've got to change what I do. Stop. Alto, right? Yeah, no. Stop. The what you do will not change until the why you do it does. Okay. If you take any substance to cope with life, you do that because you hope that it's going to help. If you stop believing it will help, you won't do it. Right? If you rely on your own power, it's because you think your own power will help. If you seek after money, it's because you think money will make you feel better. If you seek after relationships, you think the relationship. Until you stop thinking that's true and get the truth down into your heart, you will keep doing the what you're doing. And your life will be unchanged. And then we can create programs that we'll call evangelism. We can give you cool little tools to tell people about a God that you'll go tell them about, and they really won't believe you because you don't think he's that good. And women, you'll tell younger women that they're beautiful and cherished and a princess of the kingdom, and that'll last for about 6 months, and then they'll figure out you're a fraud because you don't believe that you're beautiful and precious. So, and men, you will talk about trying to be a man and a leader, but then that will you'll be found out in your lie because you're not doing it yourself. Like, we've got to check our hearts in this. And it's not for us to do, but us to surrender. Not for us to do, but for us to surrender. But if no one tells you you need to surrender, you're going to keep trying to do it. So then John goes on to say after this, let's pick back up 1 John 2, the end of verse 1. But if anyone does sin. Okay, well, I'm glad we got to this part. This whole, like, don't sin anymore, be perfect, that was like creating heartburn in me. So that you may not sin. But if you do. But if anyone does sin. Right, Randy, we have Jesus who speaks for us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Okay, let's define the propitiation word. Really, the two main meanings of this is it could be an act of gaining or regaining the favor or goodwill of someone or something. So Jesus being the propitiation for you, in that term, what he's trying to do is regain the favor of God our Father. That's good news. Or two, something that appeases. He's trying to appease the Father. Because an Old Testament idea that is still true is the penalty for my sin is death. If you go back to Genesis, Adam and Eve, because of their sin, they had to be cast out from the presence of God. If that was still the case, we would all be probably in a worse spot than them. I did worse than eating the fruit he told me not to. I mean, same disobedience. So I would be cast out. So the really good news is Jesus is like, yeah, what you did deserved for you to die alone and away from God. But because I loved you so much, I died for that. I paid that price. So you can be through me in the presence of the Father. You can be with me. Not only that, follow me, walk with me, know me, follow my commandments, and me and the Father will come in and eat with you and hang out with you and be one with you and live with you. I bet Adam and Eve would have loved that. When one of their sons killed the other one, I'm sure they would have loved to go back home with the Father. Cold nights, I'm sure they would have loved to be back home with the Father. And this is what we call good news. It's the gospel. It's another church word. This is what I have to kind of bring back to you. The good news is don't sin. That's not the point. Be perfect because he's perfect. But when you do, you got Jesus. You got Jesus. Like, this is what it's like getting the coronavirus when you're a pastor, okay? Everyone else is like, okay, let's sleep. Me, it's like, God's like, okay, now that I got your home and your attention, fillet. Let me show you your heart of stone that I'm rebuilding, right, with a heart of flesh. And here's what it is. Like, this is like, let me just take you off script here, okay? You guys remember Jesus talks about the yoke. Okay. So the yoke is like a metaphor. What do you think is a metaphor for? What's that? Burden? Yeah, right? Burden, work. So every one of us, we're a subject to what I've heard called, and I just keep using it because it's an old British dude who used it, and I love it. He says it's the tyranny of circumstance. The tyranny of circumstance, and your formula of tyranny of circumstance is different than mine. And all of you brought that in with you today, like a huge yoke over your neck. And unfortunately, those of us in the faith have taught you just do a better job of carrying it. And when the burden of that, you know, pops out, then shove it down or do better or give over to it. But that's not what he says. What Jesus is like, listen, come to me if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're heavy laden, if you're burnt out. Faint-hearted, the word means that your soul is out of breath. Oh, I love that. Have you ever felt like your soul is just out of breath? Just like the center of who you are, you're like, I don't know if I could do another thing. Come to me if you feel that way. And I'm going to give you my burden instead, and I'll take yours. If you don't give that to him, guys, you can't not sin. You can't not be perfect. It's out of order. It's out of order. Like, he's saying, let's switch. Let's switch. That's huge, right? Wow, isn't that huge? Rick, isn't that huge, man? Like, everything up until this moment, every mistake, everything that happened to you, he's like, let's switch. So what's our response to that? Our response is to know him. But you got to do more than that. You know how you know him? You got to know his ways. Someone you love, if you just knew their favorite color but you didn't know their ways, you wouldn't really be loving them, right? You'd have to walk with them. To get to know him, it takes time, and other things can't get in the way. To know him, to get to know his ways, ask him, Jesus, to change your heart. He's the heart changer, not you. Because you can't teach your old heart new tricks. You need a new heart. Put in me a new heart. Bring me to unity. Like, I was still created, like I'm malfunctioning because I'm not living like I was created to be. Like, change me. Bring me to unity with you and the Father. I was created to be one with you guys. I can't do or not do anything until I get that. I can't, until I exchange my burden for yours, my life for yours. Like, I can't get any of that. I can't do anything to you guys or to my family. I can't be good for anyone until I do that. Verse 3, and by this we'll know that we've come to know him. Okay, this I want to hear. This I want to hear. How do you know if I know him? If we keep his commandments. Ugh, dang, Brandon, I don't like that, man. That's like rule following, right? No. And what did Josh share with you? The greatest commandment that he's given us, where all the laws of the prophets have summed up in, is that we would love God with everything that we have, that we would love ourselves and our neighbors like we love ourselves and like God loves us. And by all that, every move that we would make would be on bullseye, on target. Verse 4, but whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, that's me. That's us half the time. Because we're in this life where, hey, good enough, Uzi time. Who cares? Close enough, right? I'm just a sinner, you know, so I can just keep doing whatever I'm doing. We're missing out. And it's getting worse. And we could care less about that sin, and we're more worried about our government, who's president. Gosh. Come on, guys. Look at that. Remember what they said to Jesus? The Romans suck. Get them out of here. He's like, I'm not here for them. Will, why don't you talk about Paul? I'm not here for them. None of them were good. The government has one thing in mind. They're trying to get rich and powerful. They don't give a crap about you. I don't care what the YouTubers say. They don't care. Jesus cares for you. We've got to take this seriously. I'm tired of being part of something that's fake. I want to be part of something that's real. Like, we can't sin because you've got to stop it. It's killing me. It's killing you. It sucks. We're missing out on the kingdom to come here in the Ridge. I just want this place. I want, like, the heaven just to come down, to be here. Quit lying. I don't want to lie. Like, keep his commandments. The one who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. So that's how you get the love. You keep his commandments. That's a different way of looking at it. Thank you, Josh, for bringing that up, man. By this, we know we're in him. By this, we may know we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Let me give you the rest of Ezekiel. Okay, there's a second part now you need to hear. Ezekiel 11, this is 19 and 20. I gave you 19 before. Here's 20 that goes with it. Let's do this. Take a drink of water here. And I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Verse 20, that they may walk in my... Wait a second. Why did I get a new heart? It's like kind of the joke, right? The guy who's going to go or triple bypass, and he's just like, I was going to get cleared out anyway. Might as well like eat like 7 cheeseburgers, right? So why are you getting a new heart? That they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. That's it. You're supposed to be his people. I'm supposed to be his people. But when you're his son and your daughter, guess what you get? Discipline, training, correction. To know Jesus. To know Jesus. To have unity with him. I don't want to miss the mark. I don't want to be without a share in his life, his freedom, his kingdom. Come. We can't do this. We can't miss out. Here's kind of a misleading picture. I stuck with the snow theme, so I found a Target in the snow. If you search for that, you'll find lots of Target stores with snow. Yeah, so maybe, yeah, but eventually you'll come to this. You'll know, if you notice here, there's a number of arrows in the bullseye. And a pastor I know, he used to use this old saying. He'd say, you know, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. Which is a lot of wisdom in that. And it's true. Like, what I have to present to you is in your walk with Christ. I can't walk it for you. Man, I'm struggling to walk out my own, right? Working it out with fear and trembling. That's the story of my life and yours. But what someone has to tell you is you're supposed to want to do the things God has asked you to do and want to do things the right way, God's way. But if I leave it here, what I'm aware of is you go away with a list of things to do. Okay, everyone, pull out an imaginary list, okay, that you have in your head right now. Okay? Crumble it up. Throw it away. I have to show this to you so that you'll see, but I want to move beyond that. Well, what this is there's 2 tire tracks in a snow path on a road. And like I said, if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I want to go where he leads, where he's my master. And this is the answer for you of how to not sin, to walk in righteousness, to walk the narrow path, to be one with Christ. It is thousands of different questions that you'll have to ask and he'll have to answer between now and your last breath. Or if you take a sweet cloud ride, right? Whatever happens first. Thousands of questions. And some of those we have explicitly in the testimony of the great witnesses we have before us written in these books. We have information that helps us. But how in the world do you know? I mean, it's a lifelong question. How do you know what God is asking you to do? This is where we miss out, right? We say don't sin, so you go to your moral list. Sure. And the reasons why, what? Because it separates you, the sin, you miss out on knowing God because you're not doing what he's asking you to do. You don't know his goodness. You don't experience the work of his salvation in you. You don't walk with the new heart. You don't walk free. And then also Jesus said, if you stay in sin, then it gets worse. Right? The most depraved and harmed in our society, they didn't start at level 10. They started at level 1, and it got worse and worse in every situation. It is for love that you would not sin. It is for love that you would walk the narrow path with Jesus. But how are you going to know? What do you think? What's our answer? And you can speak up. What's the answer? How will you know? What's that? Walk with him? Yeah. How will you know? What's that? Loving like he loves. So you'll kind of experience, because until we're living this, guys, you don't got anything to tell anybody. Peace and joy, right? So how do you get peace and joy? Through love, okay. So these are good, but I'm even talking in a practical way. How will you know? Fellowship. There's a great tool right here. See, I think once again, if we can come back to the heart of it, like people told you if you were in church when you were a kid to memorize scripture or to read through it. And it became the thing that we did instead of, it was the what we did instead of the why that we did it. The why that we did it is because there's so much here. This is still the beginning point for hearing from God, right? And some people might tell you it's the only way to hear from God. I won't tell you that because I know that there's the Holy Spirit, okay? But this is the biggest, best way to hear from God. And so if you're a believer and a follower and you don't even know what he's asking from you, how can you do what he asked you to do? And so as a church, that's why, you know, I'm preaching this to you, but this doesn't help necessarily. If you don't go home and read this yourself, if you don't get into a Bible study, it's like, whatever. But this is a great start, because if you read in there, you start to say, wow, this sin is a big deal. It's not because God has me in time out. It's because I'm wrecking myself and I'm missing out. Like, I'm choosing these other things before God, and it's getting in the way of what God has for me. And then I'm saying, well, God, you haven't even given him a shot. God, in my life, did you even give him a shot? Well, no, not really. Okay, then you can't say whether he works or not. You can't say whether he's good. You didn't give him a shot. And what other ways could you know him? Prayer, awesome, see? We're getting back to basics, but they're everything, right? Even though they're basic, they're everything. Talking with God and learning that sometimes prayer is even more listening than speaking. But time with him, right? There's this idea of meditation, and it's been hijacked by Eastern, but really this idea of this concentrated, focused time. I mean, worship, right? Worship music, like singing truth, spending time with him. Maybe you find that, right, in a fellowship, a small group that you find, a Bible study that you find. Maybe you do that in nature. Maybe it is in what you do that you love, that you just feel the presence of God and you know that he's good. Get to those places. But it's all going to be muted if you keep holding on to these sin habits that you have. And here's what, if you hold on to that yoke as much as you hate it, it will do its work. It will do its work. And men and women who carry the tyranny of their circumstances on their shoulders, they destroy themselves. Whether with a loud explosion or subtly over time, with a broken heart. I mean, you have to surrender this. You have to surrender it. because I'll feel great now. You have to let Jesus do the work. Anyone ever had open heart surgery? I haven't myself. But talking with people who have and seeing them in the room afterwards, one of the things you have to be very careful to do is not to carry a lot of weight because of the healing. It needs time, right? Like you get a knee replacement. I mean, you have to be careful the amount of weight you put on there. If there's so much weight, there's not freedom to heal. And so you and I have these broken hearts, these hearts of stone, and we want God to transform us and give us a new heart, but yet we carry so much burden, it's impossible. When the weight, the burden, should just bring us to surrender is what it should do. So what do we do about it, Lord? What do we do about asking a question? And I'll just invite the worship team back up. Asking a question I can't answer. Well, this is what we're going to unpack, right? From now till, like, we go to be with Jesus and then we'll know, right? But this is what we're going to unpack. This is what we're going to walk through. But for today, let those words have their full effect. Let those words so that you will not sin. Replace it with words that make sense to you so that you will not miss what God has for you. So that you will not miss the freedom, the life, the goodness of God. And if you're right now, you're sitting there and you're kind of aware, wow, I look at my life and my heart, and maybe it isn't as transformed as I think it should be. Well, you're saying is true, Will. I see that. I see, as Josh put it, we're in process and God's working. So now's the time, right? We build this end for a time for a response. There's people who want to pray for you. There's people around you who want to pray. But ultimately, what I'm trying to point you to is the fact that you need something that you can't get outside the doors here. You need something you can't actually get in the doors here. You need something that can only be the work of God in your life. It can only be God that does it. And so when you need God, what do? Where do you go? Where is God? Right? He's here. Like, come, God. Well, maybe, right? I don't even get it because the Holy Spirit, guys, it says the Holy Spirit can just, like, float over a place, over the whole planet. So it's like, that's what I'm going to pray. This is why I'm doing it. I'm praying because whatever that is, I don't understand it, right? Like, I'm a servant worshiping God. Like, I am so small. I'm not even 6 foot, okay? Like, God is huge. The world is huge, and the Holy Spirit can drape over the whole world. I don't get it. I don't have to. You don't have to. It's like, God, bring your Spirit over this place is what I'm praying right now. And where else is God? He's with the Holy Spirit, right, who lives in believers. Like, he'll make a home in you. He is the voice that you keep shutting out with your guilt, with your shame, with your desires, because they're unsurrendered. And so what we do is simply this, like, I don't know what I need, but I need a new heart, God. And so you just start, like, everything that's there, you just start throwing it out, man. Like, everything, surrender it. And just come before him, and it's like, God, fill the believers. Some people in songs are like, breathe on me. Do that if that's what works, Holy Spirit. Cover me. Like, do whatever it takes. This is what I'm praying every day. Give me unity with you. Bring me close to you. Tear out everything that's in the way. Because I want a changed heart and a changed life, and I really want to believe that God is good and experience it in such a way that my life is a testimony. Let's pray. Wow, Lord. I'm trying to tackle heaven's work. Jesus, whatever authority you've given me as the pastor, I just give to you right now. The world, sin, the enemy, the blurring of all of those. I know this type of freedom is seriously opposed, seriously comes against the fear in us, the rejection in us. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you come like a fire, like a water, like a covering over us. I pray that you would just burn in our bellies, Holy Spirit, those who you live in, Lord, that you would just read us and know us and search us. Lord, I need a new heart. I give you everything that's on this yoke that I've been carrying. I give it to you. I pray that you'd fill me and surround me. That you would fill us and surround us. That you would speak to our hearts. That you'd fill the homes of the people who are listening to this. That you would speak to them. That you would come to them in such a place that you would know them and see their heart, their love, which is good, and they're just hurting because this heart has been hardened. Lord, I pray that you would reach down, that you would peel back the layers and give us back a heart of flesh, a heart of hope, a heart that beats for you. And so, Lord, we just dwell in this for a little bit here, and then the worship team will just sing these praises and we'll join you and you'll just do your work, Lord. Do your work. I believe you can do it, Jesus. Do this fresh work in me.